Well, thank you for today. And believe it or not, 23 years here at Fairlawn. We love this congregation, we love the people, and we're so proud of you, because it's been a tough patch over the past year, and yet you've responded to the challenge, and you're good. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this family. It doesn't seem like 58 years, but my body tells me so. Oh man. Anyway, some people might be saying, well, now, okay, why this strange number? Why are you celebrating 58 years? Why not a more round number like 55 or 60? Legitimate question. But when you're 83 years of age and you've had two heart surgeries, you take it when you get it. And be grateful. Thank you. We have learned to celebrate everything. Now let me say this right at the beginning. This is my story. If what I have to say this morning speaks to you, good. If it doesn't, forget you ever heard it. And I won't be hurt. I'm not out to convert anybody to my way of thinking. As you see in a moment, I've never been much for conversion. Anyway, I just want to tell my story. And I'm putting it in the form of two pilgrimages. One pilgrimage doesn't take long to express. It was a pilgrimage that I call a geographical pilgrimage. Back in 1960, when I was ordained, the people like myself belonged to the church. They sent you wherever they felt you should go. Well, the church, in its infinite wisdom, knew that I'd been born in Quebec, but had moved to Ontario when I was five. And all of my learning and education and growing up, if there ever was any growing up, was all in Ontario. So they said, aha, you should go back to Quebec. So good old unilingual Ron went to Sept-Îles, Quebec, on the north shore of the Gulf of St. Lawrence, which is the shipping port for the iron ore mines up in Labrador. I had a great time. It was a wonderful place. It was the north, and it was great, and had a good time. We were there for 3 years, and then we moved to Magog in the Eastern Townships. And we moved at the beginning of October, after 3 years of cacti and sand and rock and the St. Lawrence. We arrived, and the leaves were at the best. I thought, yep, I died in the heaven. We loved it there. We were there for 6 years. Then the call of Ontario was pretty strong, and we came back to Toronto, to Parkdale, down on King Street, to a great, big, Methodist box that could seat 2,500 people, which was a little large for the 200 that attended every Sunday. So my destructive phase took over, and we ended up taking the church down and building a high rise with furnished apartments for single low-income working people, and the church on the ground floor and the basement area. And it worked well, and it was fun, and we had a good time. If you feel like tearing things apart, that's a good way to do it. Then we came to Lansing, up in North York, in 1977. And we were there for 18 years. Then following Lansing, or during the last 10 years I was at Lansing, I was asked to be a chaplain of North York Fire Department, but we'll come back to that in just a moment. So that was my physical pilgrimage. And I have to say, yes, I was affected by that physical pilgrimage. But there was another pilgrimage as well. There's a pilgrimage that I could call the the spiritual, the thinking, the experiential pilgrimage. Let's show that first slide and see if we can scare the children. In 1960, there I was. I was set to change the world. I passed the exams. I got ordained. I was a minister. Hey, watch out, world. The world is going to change. Well, one of the first things I realized when I got out, was that I was a Christian because I was born in Canada. If I'd been born in India, I probably would have been a Hindu. Egypt, Muslim, and so on. And I was a member of the United Church because my parents took me to the United Church. They were both very much involved. So I really had no choice and made no choice. Therefore, I had never had the desire to convert anyone to my way of thinking. And that stayed with me all through ministry. Now, you take a picture down though, Chuck, you're kind of enough. The next thing that happened to me was a book published by an Anglican bishop from England, John A.T. Robinson, and his book, Honest to God. I read that book several times. I thought about that book and spent a lot of time thinking, which was good for me. Then in 1980, another thing happened. Another Anglican bishop, this one in the United States, John Shelby Swan, began to write. And as I read his stuff, I thought, yeah, at last. So I would recommend him to anyone who hasn't encountered him, who hasn't listened to him, who hasn't read his stuff. So those two authors, those two, interesting, isn't it? Anglican bishops had a very profound effect on me. The next thing that happened was that in 1984, I was asked to become the chaplain in the North York Fire Department. Now, I knew nothing about the fire department, except they had lovely red trucks, and if I was lucky, I'd be able to drive one, and I did. And it was a great experience in my life. But as I became involved with these individuals, I found a very interesting kind of person. They didn't go to church much, not very often. But here were individuals who were willing to give their lives in the moment. Not to make it sound too special, although it is. But you know, they leave the house sick in the morning, they go on shift, they're not 100% sure they're going to come back home. They were a very different kind of individual. And while there wasn't a whole lot of churchgoers amongst them, we had some of the profoundest spiritual conversations that I've ever had. I remember on one occasion, a young infant fell out of the top, it was the top story of a high rise out of the west end of the city, obviously dying. It was a Sunday, it was a holiday weekend, it took a long time for the coroner to arrive, and we could do nothing until the coroner did arrive. And then, you know, the usual jokes standing around firefighters. But when we go back to the fire hall, and we're sitting around the table, drinking coffee, I had one of the most profound spiritual conversations I've ever had in my life. And I didn't believe it. So they've had a very, use the word again, profound effect on my life. The last thing I want to mention is the year 2001 and 9/11. Part of my responsibility in the fire service was responsibility for the critical incident stress management program, enabling our people to deal with the stuff, if I can use that word, that they encountered. And I learned that religion can be good or evil. I remember we were asked, because our team was a good team, we were asked to take the team down and spend a week, which is, they were going to let you stay a week, which is too long, actually. But anyway, time standing at ground zero, with the pile still 7 stories high, smoking, hot, dirty. And I'm thinking, wow, a few individuals can create this kind of evil, this kind of destruction, this kind of death. And then my theology kicked in and I began to think that, hey, wait a minute. They felt that their God wanted them to kill the Christians. And I got angry. But as I got angry, another word came into my mind. The word crusades. And I realized that my Christian forebears killed Muslims because they believed what God wanted them to do. Religion can be good, religion can be bad. There are both sides to that coin. That was the second pilgrimage. Okay. What is the effect of 58 years of ordination, to say nothing of 83 years of living, that these two pilgrimages had on me? It's caused me to do a lot of thinking. And let me begin by saying two things. First, my faith is stronger than it has ever been in my entire life. Much stronger than I was 15 years ago. The second thing is, and I'm repeating myself, whatever I say, if it works for you, fine. If it doesn't, that's fine too. It's my story. You're welcome to it if you feel a little bit of it. So, here's what I want to say. 6 points. And my family is laughing already because they know I preached for 3 points. So, let me hear about two, but that's okay. No, I promise to be quick. First thing I want to say is that, and some people may be offended by this, but for me, theism no longer works. Theism is the belief that, you know, we can petition God to give us this, that, and the other thing. God is the one who brings us these things, and God who solves our problems and gives us gifts, and that concept doesn't work for me anymore. To me, God is a mystery, and it's a far more precious reality as a mystery than the one we can use to achieve whatever we want to achieve. Second thing, prayer is important. Prayer is important, but it's different. At least it's different for me. Prayer is being in the presence of the divine. Listening. Thinking. Enjoying. Yes, enjoying being in the presence of the divine. And listening for whatever words or thoughts may come. That to me is prayer. Third thing is the Bible. The Bible is a very precious jewel. But it's the writings of holy people. And some people not so holy. Because there are some very unholy writings in the Bible. And we need to know the difference. So I never use the term when referring to the Bible as the Word of God. Well, I won't use here. Sorry. Firefighter. That's okay, we're good. But the Bible, they're human words about God, but they're human words from which we can indeed learn a lot. Often. But it wasn't dictated by God. Fourth thing I want to say is this. The importance of the congregation. The importance of the congregation. This is where, if you want to say it, the rubber hits the road. This is where our faith comes alive. This is where our faith takes form. This is where our faith serves, not just in here, but out of the heart. But the congregation is so important. And we're going to sing a hymn following the sermon, And this is one of the verses. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this period through. Isn't that what the congregation is all about? We're here for each other. We're here to grow. We're here to learn. We're here to become holy. And I'm not going to define what that is. Number five. Life after death. And you see the picture that's up now. One of my favorites. One of the courses that I took all through my undergraduate days at university was astronomy. Why? Because I was fascinated. I wanted to learn more. I've always had an interest in astronomy. It says a lot to me about life. I do believe in life after death, but in a very different way. And let me try to explain it this way. When you look at that picture of the Andromeda galaxy, it is filled with hundreds and thousands of stars. This is the closest galaxy to our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. And our galaxy is filled with hundreds and thousands of stars. And all of these stars are, let's call it a great big hydrogen ball, because that's what's going on. The action, the heat, the light. And these stars glow, become warm, well, very warm. But they're shooting out stuff. Stuff that arrives here. On Earth. You and I are made up of stars. The iron in our iron mines, the iron that I used to see being shipped from Sitsilo, comes from stars. And when we die, all of this stuff that is us, that has been hurled into space, goes back. We return to space. I'm not quite sure how. But one of the laws of physics is that energy never disappears. It can change form, but it can never disappear. Now this may sound like a long time to explain things. But this means an awful lot to me. Because in my earlier life, I couldn't figure it out. But returning to space, heaven, if you will, that's what happens. And that has given me strength and peace. And finally, number six. True faith is living out love. Faith is not so much doctrine, creeds, liturgies, denominations, and all those kinds of things, although they're important and they're part of it. These things are indeed important. But purely and simply, faith is learning to live in love. In love for those closest to us. In love for those who are the farthest away from it. The citizens of our earth. And yes, our galaxy, I'm sure there are some somewhere. We live in love, and in so doing, we are one with the Lord. Well, 58 years has been an adventure. I didn't say only 83. Let me repeat again what I said earlier. If it works, use it. If it doesn't, that's okay. But I'd like to finish with a quotation from a dear friend of mine. A man by the name of John Carver, who lives in the deep south in Atlanta. He started life as a Christian fundamentalist. And even in the days of his youth, did some preaching. He doesn't believe anymore. He calls himself a humanist. He doesn't like to use the word atheist because he said, Who knows? Who knows? You just don't know. And you have to leave that opening. One of the visits we had, we visited a lot back and forth. And we had theological discussions on the day. So we decided to try and define faith. What is faith all about? And I'd like to read to you the paragraph that he wrote. Here's what he says. In this thoughtful moment, we stop to remind ourselves of the awesome world we've inherited through no creation of our own, to appreciate the gifts and sacrifices of those who have gone before. We pause from our busy endeavors to reach across differences of talents, positions, beliefs, and to consider our common humanity, our common need for assistance, respect, and love. Whether received from human struggles or from a spirit greater than our understanding, we live together in that light and celebrate it across our different traditions and faiths. We rejoice in the blessings, we are thankful for the source, and we are challenged in our turn to honor future generations with a world of humaneness and opportunity. That, to me, is faith. John has no faith in the divine being. That's okay. But he's leading the world. But he knows the reality and the meaning and the purpose of love and concern